And now this ball's hit hard into right field, and it is gone. Line drive home run for Rosario. And it is 3-0 Minnesota here in the first inning.
Welcome to the Exit Velocity Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Brent. Today, Jordan is with me. How we doing?
Pretty good, sir. How are you?
Good. I know you just had that long trip to the beautiful state of South Dakota. How was that?
The great state of SODAC. That was pretty good. Never been, actually, to South Dakota. Sioux Falls is the biggest city of the state. I think it's right around like 150,000 of population. Downtown area is pretty small, but they have a lot of breweries. Was going to go check out the Canaries ballpark. St. Paul Saints actually play those guys tonight in St. Paul. But overall, good visit.
Nice.
Kind of met my expectations. One big perk for state of South Dakota is that they have no state income tax. They're one of seven states that don't. So aside from that, overall is good. And ready to get the show on the road for a little Sunday matinee action.
Yeah, and you're actually going to that St. Paul Saints game this evening. Are you excited to see some live baseball?
Yeah, definitely excited. I love that ballpark, too. It's real beautiful in that downtown area of St. Paul, Minnesota. And should be a good time. Hopefully the rain kind of subsides. Looks like a 60 to 80% chance around 7, 8 o'clock tonight. But the game starts at 5, so we should be in the clear. But it's always a good time there. Good beers, relatively cheap on like a Twins game. Mm-hmm. So I'll be curious to see how the layout is, though, with how they seat us. Because when we booked the tickets online, there's only certain sections available. So I'm assuming it's going to be every other row or something of that sort. But yeah, definitely excited to see some live baseball this evening, even though it is not the major league.
Yeah, that'll be fun, though. So, folks, we are going on to week 3 of the fantasy baseball season. Like we did last season, we always did our top 10, and we've gotten good feedback on it. And I know me and Jordan really enjoyed doing this as well. And then Jordan has his two starts of the week. But going through the top 10 of this past week, it's from last Sunday, counting last Sunday to the full day Saturday. And then next week, it'll be this Sunday to all the way next Saturday. But number one this past week, the guy just keeps on hitting. He's hitting in the 3 spot now for the Colorado Rockies. He's not batting leadoff. He's not stealing bags for you anymore. But Charlie Blackmon, man, oh, man. He's like kind of a Nelson Cruz type player. Oldie but goodie.
Chuck Nasty is just that. Nasty. The guy continues to rake. Even going into his, 33, 34 season. Sad COVID going into the season. Obviously got cleared to play and has been producing massive numbers as of late and since the season started.
Yeah, I honestly think he is going to be. He had 11 RBIs this past week. I think he is going to be, if he bats in this 3 spot in Coors Field, he is going to be a 3,100 guy every season with a plus 300 average and a plus 850 OPS. So Charlie Blackmon next year could be a second to third round pick again if he keeps this up.
Well, even looking at the 3 hole too, the guy he's just always batted leadoff. So to see what he's doing right now in 3 hole spot, now he can even DH too, being that his age is increasing, right? And he's on the opposite side of the 30. But I think if he has that with him, I think it's only going to be more effective for him down the stretch.
Yeah, the RBI, especially batting right in front of Nolan and right after Trevor Story. Beautiful spot at number 2 this week. He really is the next set of superstars in the MLB. You watch this kid play, and he's one of those wow guys, just like Juan Soto. Fernando Tatis Jr., he had 5 home runs in 7 days.
Yeah, he's an absolute man, right? Definitely better than his father was. And I think with how hot and, I mean, how he's a top prospect going into the league, definitely a lot of hype behind him. And he's definitely delivered, especially as of late. This is probably the best we've seen of him since he has gotten to the majors. I know he battled injury last year, but when he's healthy, he's just providing value day in and day out. And he's great with the leather as well. So just watching him, obviously he's producing the fantasy numbers offensively, but even with the leather, it's definitely a show to watch.
I think he's probably going to end up being better than Frankie Lindor. I hope the Padres just build a good offensive lineup around him. But well, he'll probably continue to rake. We'll see what happens. At number three, we got Xander Bogaerts, who, I mean, he's had a great week as well. Two stolen bags, which is very surprising. I know he had around, he's a guy that gets around 15 in a full season. He's kind of came into his own the past couple of years. He had, I know he had that nice 30 home run, was 110 RBI, 120 runs scored season last year, and he's right up in the top five again this week.
Yeah, honestly, he's been severely underrated. Mm-hmm. I think with the depth at the shortstop position, and we talk about a lot of guys, but this is one guy that honestly almost gets neglected. I think that since dating back to 2016, had a 20 homer season then, and he's just been rock solid ever since. And last year, he batted 309, 117 runs batted in, 33 homers. And with that, like by scoring 110 runs, I feel like he was kind of very under the radar this year. And even like right now, I feel like a lot of guys, personally, even myself, if we were to debate trading like him for Trevor Story, like I would probably take Story. But it shouldn't be that easy of a decision because this guy is producing, especially and he's been healthy, right? So mm-hmm. I think you should definitely hold on to him and not be so willing, I guess, to trade him. But that's coming from a guy that doesn't have any shares, but kind of has come to the realization that this guy is legit and he does produce day in and day out and he does provide rock solid value. So, definitely nice to see him at the top of the list for the week, but I'm sure it's not going to be the last time.
No, it won't. At number four is our first pitcher, actually our first and only pitcher in the top 10. A little Trevor Bauer action. He had a nice little two-start week, only gave up a run, struck out 14, 15. I mean, he had a ton of strikeouts. Didn't he have a complete game as well? Well, that seven-inning complete game. Whatever
yeah.
you want to call
so
it.
So you can call that what it is, but the doubleheader kind of skews things a bit. But yeah, call it a complete game.
12 strikeouts in six innings is not too bad. That's the game he gave up the one run in. It's nice to see Trevor Bauer. I know he's a big presence in the MLB with a lot of players. Him and Mr. Sunshine, Mike Clevenger, were going at it. And it's fun to see stuff like that. I like seeing personality give a little vibe in the MLB.
Yeah, no, it's playful. Him and Clevenger were teammates in Cleveland, got to meet up. They were actually supposed to duel it out on Wednesday, but since there was a postponed game, things got a bit skewed there, so it wasn't able to happen, unfortunately. But kind of battled it out for the state of Ohio this past week against Cleveland, Cincinnati. So I honestly like to see him back in true form. I know it is his contract year too, so I think that actually heightens or strengthens his value in this current season, because I know the guy wants to go the distance day in and day out and has been delivering. So to have a guy like that, just a workhorse, a machine, the Bauer outage, I think that he's got a strong presence in this 2020 season and he wants to go in and after it weekly on a weekly basis. And I think that he could probably finish as a top five pitcher this year. What do you think?
He could with the strikeouts that he has coming back, because he kind of lost it a little bit last year with the strikeouts, but he's getting them back this year. I mean, it could be because we've seen so far bats are pretty rusty, but also some pitching has kind of been hit or miss. But if he keeps bringing these strikeouts, I mean, that means he's missing bats and he's keeping the ball in the yard. So he could easily finish as a top five pitcher in this little 60 game set.
Yeah, I think, I mean, even 2019 going into that season this last year, he was one of the favorites to win the AL Cy Young. Obviously, it didn't go that route, and he didn't end the season in the AL. But I think he settled in Cincinnati, much like my boy Sonny Gray. Mm. And I think this year could be the year that he has that potential to win the Cy Young. And he can shut up all of his haters.
Yep, no pressure in the small city of Cincinnati. At number six, we got another Colorado Rocky. Speaking of the Rockies, who have the MLB's best record at 11-3. They have the second best scoring differential in the league, only behind the Dodgers and ahead of the Minnesota Twins. Daniel Murphy had 3 home runs and 10 RBIs this past week. And these Rockies, their pitching has come back. And I think that's the difference. Kyle Freeland and Germán Marquez have both looked like, now I won't say, I would say Marquez has looked more of an ace, but Freeland's looked like a solid number 3 guy right now.
Yeah, he has. I just want to say that there was a little correction there. So Bauer finished 4th and then Judge actually finished 5th.
Oh,
but
yes,
we can
yes.
go. But we can go ahead and skip Aaron Judge because that's cool. I mean, I kind of like what you're doing there. I was gonna let it slide and just not talk about the Yankees. But yeah, we'll just say that Aaron Judge had six runs, scored 4 homers, 10 RBIs, and batted .333. And now we're on to Daniel Murphy. I love it, Daniel Murphy. He's healthy, and he's raking, and that's what you love to see. Daniel Murphy's stand up dude. Almost become a journeyman, but been rock solid this past week. And this is kind of what we were expecting when he landed in Colorado. Mm-hmm. He's had some banged up seasons and now he's true form, healthy and producing. And this is what we love to see. And this is kind of the version of the Mets, like when he was with the Mets and even with the Nationals. This is kind of where he's performing right now. And obviously being in Coors Field is quite beneficial, but I love to see it. So I'm a huge Daniel Murphy fan.
And he plays at a shallow position, first base, so it is great to see. And the Rockies, man, I love it. They're one of the teams that I watch, not as much as the Twins or even probably the A's, but I like to keep an eye on them just because they have so many fun guys like Arenado and Story. So it's good to see the Rockies doing good for once.
For sure, and especially since they're, like you mentioned, Marquez and Freeland figuring it out, which is great. Mm-hmm. Both young studs as far as pitching prospects goes, but I think they settle in. When Coors Field and the Rockies, like if they're all, it's all clicking and they have pitchers that can keep in the ballpark, things going right, they're going to win games and even the Kempire is going to produce. So all things good on the Coors Field front in for the Rockies. And I love to see it. Huge. I mean, it's kind of strange, right? Like we have no ties to Colorado, mm-hmm. Except for, Andrew living there and going to visit there has been always been great. But it's always fun, and it's like a team that you just want to be a fan of. Like, you can't hate on the Rockies.
Yeah, it's just even though their front office has made some questionable moves, but everyone was like, why do we get the Kempire? And look at him go. I mean, he's been having a great little season as the DH.
I knew you were going to throw that in there.
Well, you started it. You brought him up first.
I know. I was just being casual, and you had to revisit it, but it's okay.
Oh, man. At number 7, I remember last year, almost always around the 11 to 14 range, we always had that catcher of the week in there. And at number 7, we got probably the best catcher. The number 1 catcher in the game, JT Realmuto. He had 3 home runs, batted .500. He only had 14 at-bats, though, mm-hmm. this past week. But that's because the Phillies were shut down and only started playing, I believe, on Tuesday, I think, off the top of my head. But JT's back up there.
Yeah, he is actually where he's supposed to be. As far as being the number 1 catcher in baseball right now, his numbers last year weren't all that exciting. Didn't really jump off the page as far as what you expected. I mean, 25 homers and 83 RBIs obviously can't go unnoticed from a catcher, but I think we just expected a bit more. But what he's doing right now, and I'm sure he's going to finish rock solid top 2, unless there's any flukes as far as catcher rankings at the end of the season. But definitely maintains that catcher C1 value. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's going to be the top catcher when it's all said and done. But I think number 2 and 3, as it's looking right now and the way these guys are playing, number 2 could probably be Christian Vasquez with the Boston Red Sox. He's been DHing, catching, and playing a little first base there. And he's been, I believe he's the top catcher right now when it comes to rankings. He's a number 1 catcher in head-to-head formats in Yahoo. But Salvador Perez could finish as like a number 3 or 4 type catcher as well. He's been raking against the Minnesota Twins. So I like to see Salvi up there too. Good little bounce back.
For sure. Definitely was banged up and he's a workhorse as well. And I should just reiterate or revisit my statement from previous and saying that I expected more from JT Realmuto last year. I mean, 92 runs scored, 25 homers and 83 RBIs. Is pretty damn good. And accompanied by 9 steals. I just retract what I said previously. Last season, he basically did what we expected him to. And I'm sure he will do just that again for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, he'll probably keep it going. At number eight, we got Renato Nunez, who I've picked him up in our GV league, and he's produced for me, but I feel like he could be a Chris Davis type player. I compare a lot of guys to Chris Davis. I know like Teoscar Hernandez and whatnot, but Renato has some of the hardest and longest home runs of 2020. Do you think he can keep this pace going, batting in that weak Baltimore Orioles lineup?
I mean, this guy was he was in the top 10 how many times last year when we did this segment? Like every week, I thought we talked about Renato Nunez, and no one rostered him. And he just can now he's producing just like he was last year. I think he's the bright spot in that lineup. But my comparison would be like Eugenio Suarez. Just because I honestly think that's a pretty good comp. I do say so myself. But younger guy, but with a 288 average, 5 homers and 11 RBIs in this young season, there's not much more you can ask for. That's more home runs than Nelson Cruz. So yeah. I think he is a pleasant surprise, but not just too surprising as to what he performed like last year. So exciting. I definitely think he should be rostered. I don't know what is his ownership percentage in Yahoo right now?
55.
That is very underowned in my opinion, especially being what he was born in 94. So that's like 26.
Yeah. He's 26, 27 years old.
He's entering his prime. Yes. He strikes out a lot, but power hitters do.
Yeah.
He should be rostered. So if he's available in your leagues, guys, don't just pass him up before it's too late. And some other guys in a covet the benefits and beat you.
Late bloomer hitting in a good park in Camden. So it'll be fun to watch him grow. At number nine, we got the guy in Cincinnati. He's batted .267 this past week, but still hit 5 home runs. Nicholas Castellanos. I know Mike Kirtland had a side-by-side clip of him changing his batting stance. He's kind of dropped his leg kick down, has a quicker swing. Are you buying into this Castellanos hype?
Most definitely. Simply because he was doing just this in a Chicago Cubs uniform. So loved it last year. Had my shares late last season. And I believe in the hype in a Cincinnati Reds uniform. He is 5 homers in a week, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like that just can't go untalked about, right? Like I think that with him being in Cincinnati, getting paid, feeling appreciated, definitely not in a Tigers uniform anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So he's loving it, and I think he's got to be a favorite to win the NL MVP right now.
Yeah, he probably is number one.
Well, Blackman and then him, maybe.
Yep.
Or if Tatis, I don't know. That's going to be quite the debate when it comes down to it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens after these 60 games. But, I mean, yeah, Castellanos has woken up. He's batting 2, 3, 4 in that Reds lineup. And I know Moose just got put on the DL today, so he's going to have to even carry more of the load.
For sure. I think he can do it. Definitely like seeing it. Always been a Nick Castellanos fan. Definitely not for his defense, but for his homers.
Yep, DH in the NL, that'll help him. At number 10, we got our twin of the week. Max Kepler had 2 home runs, 7 RBIs, batted .320. He's been all over that lineup. He's led off. He's batted like 7th, 8th. He's batted 3rd. I mean, what do you think the Twins should do with Kepler to maybe keep him a little bit more consistent? Or do you like them that they're moving him around all over the place?
I am just trusting everything that Rocco's doing. Up and down, all around, do your thing, because Kepler is just going to still produce. He is currently batting leadoff right now and just drew a walk against Singer. So I currently like his season results as of right now. So I don't really think that's affecting it all that much. But if I were to roster one outfielder on the Minnesota Twins, it'd obviously be him. And I think Nelson Cruz won. And then I would say Kepler, too.
Offensively, you'd take, I mean, I wouldn't fight that because Rosario still, I feel like, hasn't found it.
And Donaldson's been a guy that had a lot of preseason hype, but has been banged up. And this is the Donaldson that we've been accustomed to seeing ever in the past 4 years. So,
It's some four. And it's the same injury, too, dude. It's that, what is it, the hammy?
Yeah.
same thing that he had problems with in Atlanta, Toronto, everywhere. So I hope
and I sure as hell don't want him DHing and having Nelson Cruz play the field. So we gotta figure that out.
Yep. So that is the top 10 of this past week, folks. A couple other mentions outside is Mike Trout only missed like 4 games from his birth of his child, and he's at number 12 the past week. So whoever took him like late, him falling to like 6 and 7 overall, you got a steal.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to look at that. And then Buxton, too, had
three home runs in three straight games. I'm glad you mentioned my boy. I was just going to bring him up. Finished last week at the 15th spot. Had 3 homers and 7 RBIs.
Dude, and the only problem is yesterday, too, he had another scary one where he loves to just, like, throw himself into the outfield wall, even though sometimes I feel like it's not quite necessary.
Yeah, he's a bit reckless, but he always makes the flashy plays, and he saves us a lot of runs.
Mm-hmm.
I will say another guy, too, I wanted to mention, just because he's been in and out of the lineup in, like, here and there, but he's healthy right now. He was once batting 7th in the lineup, and he just got moved up to 1st over the weekend, and that is Alex Verdugo, the Boston Red Sox. He finished this past week ranking 19th overall, had 3 homers and 4 RBIs with a 417 average. Benintendi's been struggling. We're all well aware of it. And Alex Verdugo is now batting leadoff over the weekend. Mm-hmm. I would love to see that continue. And I hope that the production remains the same. I think that that would be very exciting. And obviously, if you own the guy too, but his ownership percentage in Yahoo right now is sitting at 61%. Boston's slowly becoming more and more appealing to him and the fan base. I think the fans are really growing on him finally. And hopefully this continues. And they can, I mean, you can never forget about Mookie Betts, but no one can replace that kind of guy. But he's going to try his best. I have faith.
He did have a couple nice stretches with the Dodgers, a young, promising talent. Another guy I want to mention here, boy, your boy, Dylan Bundy. Bundy Fundy.
Yeah, Bundy season.
Dude, he's working that slider. He's using it more. I mean, I don't buy into
complete
it yet.
Game, one run, right?
Oh, I guess the Bundy.
Just nasty with the – he should just shave the little goatee he has and just have straight stash. That'd be filthy. Well, filthy like his strikeouts right now.
Yeah. Oh, he's looked good. But yeah, pretty much roster every Cleveland Indians pitcher, because even their 5 guys like Plesac and Savali,
all of them. It's incredible. Yeah.
I don't know what's in the water in Cleveland.
They just produce rock solid pitching staff year in after year.
Every time. Just unreal. Yeah. Beautiful.
One guy I want to mention, because I just happened to be watching a Rangers game this past week, was Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. He actually plays third base daily, and he's got catcher eligibility. And I picked him up at like when he was 12% owned. Mm-hmm. He's currently 31% owned. And this past week, he was 10 for 22, 4 runs scored, an RBI, and had 2 steals. So you get 2 steals out of a catcher in a single week. Man, that's beautiful. So that's just one guy, random guy that I just wanted to mention. If he's available in your league, definitely take a look, because he's batting 2nd over the weekend. He was batting 7th, but he's the hottest hitter in that Rangers lineup right now as far as average goes. And if he's stealing bags and in the catcher role, that is priceless in my eyes. So take a dabble if you can. But that was just what I wanted to share with you guys.
Mini JT Real Muto. Dabble.
With no power, but I'll take it.
He's a little dude. I saw him. Yeah, I've seen him on the
field. He's tiny. Well, he had 3 steals. After he got his 3rd steal in the game I was watching, the broadcasters were like, yeah, and now he leads the team in steals. And I immediately was like, huh? And I just went in and plugged him in. So definitely something to look at.
Yeah, that Rangers team, yeah, they look rough. Even though, like you said, your boy and then Joey Gallo's look good, though. I think Joey Gallo
and him, man. Stuff. I mean, but if you look at their batting averages, like, they are rough. They are, like, 150 and below, like-ish, run. And everyone wants a taste of the Rangers right now. Yeah. But they did grab a couple wins over the weekend, and Rafael Montero snagged 2 staves. Like, what? Rafael Montero. Yeah. After his first save, I was like, that's a hoax. And then he got his second one, and it happened to be against me because the guy I'm playing added him. So that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's like Trevor Rosenthal stealing some saves in Kansas City. He's throwing his back to his old self. But I think him and Matheny go back to when Rosenthal was a stud with the Cardinals. So there could be something right there.
He's cranking out 100-mile-an-hour fastballs, so let him have it.
Yep, let him have it. So we're going to do our two starts of the week. This is your part of the show. I know the guys you got listed. I like two of them. The other two, I don't know if I'd work with, but
I like two of them, but the other two. Ah. Well, the one of them is like owned in 80% of leagues. And the only reason why I mentioned them is because I wanted them off your ass.
Mayday. Mayday.
Yeah. Dustin May. But he shouldn't even. This is the segment that I only talked about basically unowned guys. And I just wanted to bring him up because. Well, the fact that I wanted him and you didn't give him to me and your price tag was too pricey.
This stuff is nasty.
That two seamer that basically attacked, I can't remember the hitter, but that was just insulting.
Yeah. But who else? You got a twin on that list. Who is it?
Dude, Randy Dobnik. Randy tomorrow Savage. He is at Milwaukee against Hauser, and Milwaukee, if anybody knows, isn't really doing much. So I would definitely address that, especially since Randy Dobnik's got like a microscopic ERA since entering the majors, simply going unnoticed right now. And with that, with those shades and that stash, let him be rostered. Let him in.
Let him shine.
So Dobnik, Monday, tomorrow, Milwaukee, and then Sunday, he's got Casey. And well, with what they're doing against the Twins over the weekend and currently today, kind of scary, but not really all that scared. I think Dobnik can figure it out, and I sure as hell hope the Twins can figure it out because losing to the Royals is just a disgrace. Mm-hmm. But, so that's one, Randy Dobnik. And then on Tuesday, we got Eliezer Hernandez. Had a decent start, went like four innings over the past week. But on Tuesday, he's at Toronto or in Buffalo. That's where they're playing. He'll have a face-off against Ryu. And on Sunday, he's at Atlanta. That's not the most appealing start, but we'll see how he does on Tuesday, and then we'll revisit how he should do on Sunday. And then the third guy that I wanted to mention was Tyler Malley.
Mm-hmm.
Went six this past week. He's got another. I'm just going at Casey. On Tuesday, he's got Kansas City. And then on Sunday, he's got the real juicy one against Pittsburgh and Trevor Williams. Go all in on Sunday. I guess be a little bit more cautious on Tuesday, but I'd plug him in. So that would be my two starts of the week. I would mention streamers, but people already do that. So I'm just going to go the two-start route, and that's how we're going to do business moving forward. Does that sound good?
Heck yeah. I know, like you said, SP Streamer has like his streamers of the day, and he's been priceless, man.
He's like on like a 13 game streak of not like being untouched. Like he's got it mastered.
He's got the perfect formula.
He's got that little chart. Shout out to SP Streamer, but he's got that chart, and you look at it, numbers don't lie. And obviously his record doesn't lie as he's like 13-0 right now, I think. So if you guys need more day-to-day streamers, that's definitely a guy to seek out on Twitter because he's got all the information you need, and it is definitely useful as he's been successful thus far in this young season. So I think that's all I had for streamers, though. The other guys,
it's rough. I mean, COVID, man. The COVID. Yeah, you don't know when.
Especially like rostered guys, too. So one guy we can talk about because I roster him, and I had him plugged in this past week, and that's Kyle Gibson, the ex-twin. Did decently well this past week. Had 8 Ks and a quality start. The only reason why I'm talking about him is he's got the juiciest of juicy starts, and that's tomorrow against Seattle. That team can't get on base to save their tails. Mm-hmm. So I would be all about that start tomorrow. And then I'd tread lightly on Sunday because he's at Colorado. So tomorrow, yes, all in, pick him up for the stream of the day. And then you could probably sit him confidently on Sunday because I didn't want any piece of that Colorado lineup on Sunday. That could ruin your week after a solid 5 days or 6 days.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there it is. That's that segment. I love doing it, and good luck to that.
Yeah, Mark Melancon just picked up a save today, and I want to talk a little bit about closers. I think he's got that job on lockdown. He hasn't even given up a run yet in Atlanta, even though Will Smith is healthy. And I don't know what the Mets are doing. It's just it's the Mets. I mean, you got Lugo in. He's coming in against the Marlins right now, but Diaz has kind of looked like he's figured it out a little bit. It's just closers are a mess.
The closers, yeah, like you said, that's one thing you could talk about for probably hours because yeah. Who knows who's going to get the next save.
I like seeing Mark Melancon do good because I remember his days with Pittsburgh and, oh, man, he was good.
Yeah, and so Will Smith just got back from COVID. He was a guy that I thought would eventually take the role. But if Melancon's going to do it, or if he's currently doing it, they're not going to give it away.
Yeah. Oh, no. Especially he's doing so well at it as well. So it's good. It's good to see. But with lineups, too, like Mike Curlin does a day every day. I don't know how his I don't know if his wife doesn't hate him or not, because I know if I did that, Jamie would disown me. But he does a game by game breakdown of every single like lineup that will affect you. And they're good. Like they're deep. They're good. But my God, I know.
The effort. I commend the efforts, young sir, and I hope they don't go unnoticed.
Yeah, they're good to see. But yeah, I mean, else it's just there's a lot of stuff out there, and
there's so many resources. You just gotta use them all.
Oh yeah,
I want to talk about though James Kirinchek, Brad Hand obviously has been shaky, and I know our boy Zach Braff is all about James. I hope he takes the job, but I think Brad Hand's going to have to be traded in order to do that.
Because they're paying him.
Yeah.
He's from Chaska as well. Brad Hand in Minnesota. He's from Chaska as well.
Yeah, but with Taylor Rogers already being a lefty closer, I don't know if we're going to pay. I'd rather get a starter.
Mm-hmm.
I do like my boy Tyler Duffy, though. Whew, the guy just throws gas, and I love the K's. I'm a K9 guy, we all know. Mm-hmm. But definitely love to see that. The bullpen did struggle this weekend, though. Dude, we've been this three-game skid. And every time, I'll just say this now because I'm watching the game, every time Jorge Soler is up to bat, I get a little nervous. Because the dude just hits missiles. And the swings, his swings and misses, like, oh, they're close. And you just don't want it to happen to your team. We got lucky there. And, oh, no, that was a walk. Oh, I'm not sure. Hold on. Aren't you sidetracked on this podcast? No. Yep, he got walked. I would walk him too.
Yeah.
Good job, Jose. Good job, Jose.
Yeah, I wouldn't. The one guy in the Twins bullpen that I think they just need to make a move, Lewis Thorpe. He hasn't turned out. He hasn't been the answer at all. I think he just needs to be gone.
Yeah.
He struggled. He gave up he gave up that home. He gave up like 5 runs yesterday in a third of an inning. And he's just not good. He was supposed to be a top prospect with us. He's from like Australia or something like that. He's just not that good.
Yeah.
Down under.
You can go. What are your thoughts on rostering St. Louis Cardinals in 2020? They are the team that has had the most postponed games, even ahead of the likes of the Miami Marlins. And the Miami Marlins are like 6-1. We can talk about that too, but I wanted to get your take on the St. Louis Cardinals.
All I know is what kind of clubs do they have in St. Louis that they must got the clubs because Miami, that's where they got sick. And St. Louis, they must even have better clubs.
I'm pretty sure Miami got sick in Atlanta, and we all know why. Lots of lap dances. Now, that can't be confirmed or denied, but I heard that was the rumor. That was the joke I once had, and then it actually became true. But I don't know what. So I know I saw this a couple times on social media, but guys like Jack Flaherty, obviously having to miss his starts. What do you do with him? What do you got? You got him on your team. What are you doing?
You have to keep him.
No, for sure. For sure. But like, what's your take? Like, you would not trade him for other assets because they're playing. You would hold on to him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because especially in a keeper dynasty league, because next year he's a top five pitcher.
So what about a redraft league? Would you trade him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd get as much as you can from him for now. But if you don't get that much, just hold on to him. But if you can get like a Giolito, like a Giolito type player, Patrick Corbin or something. Flaherty's gone.
Yeah. I just wanted your take because that's kind of like the conversation that I've seen or a lot of debate. Definitely would buy low if you can. If you get him for cheap, I would. But that's the concern, I guess, is because of playing time and you don't know how long it's going to be, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, the COVID's going to affect everything. Doesn't look like we'll have college football this fall either. So fun.
Yeah. I was actually talking to a Green Bay Packer fan the other day, too. And I know you got jokes. I'll listen to him later. But he was wearing a mask, a black Packers mask. It had like a small G on the top left corner. And obviously me being a Packer fan, I was like, hey, nice mask, man. He's like, yeah, it's actually only for season ticket holders. And I was like, oh, snap. And then just continued to ask more questions and kind of talked about the season. And he was saying that, so season ticket holders get access to 8 games a year, right? Mm-hmm. He actually is only getting access to 4. So he can actually only go to 4 games this year. And I don't think he gets to pick those 4.
That sucks.
Yeah. So just put that in perspective. I don't know. That's all I know. And that's from one guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's obviously affecting every sport and it's not official yet. Things could obviously change, but it sucks. It's mm-hmm. not good.
Yeah. I know the NBA is playing pretty well in their bubble and Luka Doncic had a wild triple double.
Man, like 30. That dude is just a man. Dude, he's 21 years old. Just a savage. Just running the league.
Oh, it's good. That's good to see.
Just splashing triples, getting 20 boards and just dishing 13 dimes. Like, what? I love it.
All right.
Mavericks team, though, they haven't been to the playoffs. I'll just finish it off there, but they haven't been to the playoffs in quite some time. So it's good to see that them doing well. And they beat, I think they beat somebody good last night or something. The Bucks?
Bucks. No? Yep, Bucks.
Yeah. So, yeah. Good stuff. Anything else you got to add to the fantasy sports world?
No, that's pretty much everything, except we're going to be doing another card giveaway with the Jag boys pretty soon. So that'll be fun. Okay. I hope they get us a good card. All they have to do is pretty much follow, retweet us, and you have a chance to win a nice card.
Sweet. I need to get myself a jersey like you did with Jacob DeGrom. That thing is filthy. I love that blue.
The Nash Walker, man. All you had to do is retweet, and there it is.
Here, I saw his dorm in Mizzou. It's just all twins. Looks like he goes to the University of Minnesota.
Or works at Target Field.
Yeah. Shout out to Nash Walker. That guy knows his twin stuff, man.
That's funny. No, but I've been lucky with them winning things lately. I got that. I got a beer, bourbon, and baseball from Curlin and a Kevin Durant signed basketball from Pristine Auction. They did their Pristine Week where they just gave away free stuff. You just had to comment on a question and ended up winning that too. That thing's worth like $500. I looked. I was like, hell yeah. They just gave it away for free. They gave away like Jerry Rice signed helmets from like the Niners. I'm like, my goodness.
Jeez, you're sitting first place in the GV and you're getting luckier with all these giveaways. Man, how much more luck do you need?
Jeez. As long as the university don't shut down, I'll be all right.
You guys, also, that'd be cool. This is just an idea. If any listeners have some badass trophies, if they like league trophies, because we're looking at getting ideas and kind of amplifying what we currently have for the GB League. If you guys have any ideas, tweet them our way. And as we look to reconstruct what we got going on. So if you guys have any cool league championship photos of trophies to provide any ideas, send them our way.
Sounds good. All right, folks, there it is. You can follow Jordan at @ExitVelo_JR, myself at @ExitVelo_BH, and the podcast at @ExitVelocityPC, and the Zach Braff at @BraffZ. Have a great day.